Here are true facts about the chameleon. What is it? The chameleon? That word really looked like it was going to be more fun to say.
First of all, I just want to tell you what a great show you got. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, thank you. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
The chameleon is like an ordinary lizard that got all tricked out by that old guy in the James Bond movies that hands out the little spy toys. The chameleon's upper and lower eyelids are fused to form a small hole just large enough for its pupil. Its little spy eye can rotate nearly 180 degrees in all directions, giving it a remarkable field of vision. Furthermore, each eye can move independently of the other, allowing the chameleon to look at two things at once. This, however, makes it painfully obvious when the chameleon is no longer paying attention to you. However, when the chameleon spots prey, both of its eyes lock on its target. If you were Jiminy Cricket, you would get your pants right about now.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, baby!
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, old world lizards, chromatophores, meanings, George Washington, Pride Week, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. Well, for the first time in my life, I came face to face, well, face to eyeball with a lizard I'd never seen before. What did I learn? Well, first off, it wasn't nearly as afraid of me as I thought it would be. And secondly, maybe it knows more about tolerance than we do. Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. The email is dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, you can use whatever preferred non-denominational web search browser you wish to take you to thedavebowmanshow.com. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Just search for The Dave Bowman Show. Ego biberi capulus et olive verve. I drink coffee that others might live. I'm actually pretty excited. I got a really big week ahead of me, finally. It's a long story. It really is a long story. But we moved in here just a month under 2 years ago, and I had all these plans for what I was going to do. I was going to build a shop in my garage and start doing things, you know, manly things, being a man, and then, I don't know, stuff happened, and eventually I had no means of doing that. I mean, my garage was impassable. I mean, it really was. So over the weekend, Cammie and I cleaned the garage. Now, you may look at this and go, there's still a lot of crap in there, Dave. You're right, there is. But you can actually get in and out of the garage now, which up until Saturday, you literally could not. I ended up making, I think, 4 trips to the dump or to the scrap metal dealers. We had our old washer and dryer that had to go. Literally, you could not walk from where I'm standing in that picture, from the door that leads from the kitchen area to the garage. You could not walk from there to the garage doors without killing yourself. I mean, it was just, there was so much crap in there. So anyway, we spent a lot of time cleaning that. So now I can actually start working on building my, what you can't see in the picture there off to the right is I bought a workbench before we left Manteca. I bought a workbench to take with me to build in this garage. And so it's there. And so this afternoon, after I get done here, do my walking and a couple of other small errands, today I start working on that. And I'm pretty jazzed about it. I really am. There's my lawnmower. My lawnmower that kicked my butt last month. So I bought that lawnmower last year, July 3rd, bought it on sale, got a really good deal on it. It's an electric lawnmower. Don't let that kid you. I mean, it actually does a really good job. And anyway, I mowed the lawn 3 or 4 times last year. I went to mow the lawn a couple of weeks ago and it wouldn't start. And I could not get it started. It just would not start. And I was actually on the phone with customer service and everything else. And I think I told you about this. They wanted me to take it to Seattle. And anyway, I was just doing it backwards. So you have to push the button and then pull the bail. I was pulling the bail and then pushing the button. And anyway, works fine. Works like a champ. Mowed the whole backyard and everything was cool. And anyway, I'm very excited about this. So if I seem a little distracted over the next week or so as I'm working on getting all that organized, well, you'll understand why. Because I'm 55, coming up on 56, and I've never had a garage before that I could actually use as something. I've never had a workbench where I could actually work on things. I actually have a television that I'm going to put out there, and I plan on spending a good deal of time out there. I plan on doing stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I have a drill press, folks. I have a drill press. I don't know why I have a drill press, but I have one. What I don't have is a what was that thing John and I were talking about that day, the air compressor. I don't have an air compressor. I should get one. I don't know why, but I should get one just so I can be a manly man, I guess. Looking forward to that. So over the weekend, I found myself in Seattle, not intentionally, just sort of happened. And of all things, I ended up in a pet store. And for the first time in my life, I've heard about these things all my life, but I'd never actually seen one before. I've never seen a chameleon before. I've been to zoos. I've been to stuff. I'd never actually seen a chameleon before. A chameleon. Word sounded, looked like it would sound like a whole lot more fun. Anyway, that's the chameleon that I actually saw. That's my little friend. I have named him Ted. I don't know why. I just did. And I probably watched Ted for, I don't know, a good 20 minutes. Trying to get him to change colors. I was trying to get him to change colors because chameleons are supposed to do that. They have these skin cells called chromatophores, and they're not actually changing color per se. They're actually expanding and contracting those cells, which makes it look like they're changing colors. So for all practical purposes, they are changing colors. Anyway, Ted and I had a long conversation about what we were going to do with regards to him changing colors. He was not impressed with my opinion about that. But I found him fascinating. I really did. I stood there and watched him for, like I said, about 20 minutes. And in many ways, he's become my favorite lizard. I almost very closely came, almost bought a chameleon. And then I started reading on it online because I thought, well, I better, you know, get some more information first. And of course, it turns out chameleons are not good pets. Certainly not for first-time lizard owners. If you're going to be a first-time lizard owner, they recommend, you know, something a lot more, I don't know, tame or something, a lot less maintenance intensive than a chameleon, which apparently require a lot of attention, which surprised me because he didn't move except for his eyeballs the whole time I was there. So it was kind of disconcerting to watch his eyes move the way they did, but he was a very interesting little guy. I mean, I really liked him. Anyway, it turns out they don't make good pets for first-time lizard owners. So I did not buy a chameleon. I do not have one. And, well, there you go. Of course, the only song I know about chameleons is the famous Culture Club song, Karma Chameleon, which came out in the 80s. As my good friend Janine pointed out, makes me very old that I know this song. My eye phone is full of music from the 1980s, mostly because it's when I was a young adult, and it was an era that I remember very well. I love 70s rock and I love 70s funk, but you know, when I'm just driving with the wife, 80s music is what gets it done for us. So anyway, it makes me really old that I am very familiar with this song, Karma Chameleon. And I have spent the last 40 years now, since that song came out, believing that it was about one thing. And then I looked it up, and of course it was about something completely different than I actually thought it was. According to Boy George, who actually wrote the song and sang it, he explained that the song is about the terrible fear of alienation that people have, the fear of standing up for one thing. It's about trying to suck up to everybody. I thought, well, that's not what I get from the lyrics, but again, I defer to the people that actually wrote songs. It's like Ray Bradbury's book, Fahrenheit 451, one of my favorite books. I love hearing people tell me what that's about, because they always tell me about how it's this or that. And then you read Bradbury's description of it, and it's about how we've all become television zombies. And it has nothing to do with all this other stuff that he's talking about. I'm willing to accept Boy George's explanation of what the song is about because he wrote the song. He would know what the emotional level of it is. And I have some experience, minor, in my spectacularly unsuccessful music career. I have some experience with songwriting and lyric arrangement and that sort of things. And I know that when people write songs, what's in their head and what comes out on the paper makes sense to them, but it doesn't always sound the same to other people. And in fact, many times songs are written to say something that only one or two people will actually get, while the rest of the world will get, you know, Rock Me Amadeus. Amadeus. Well, we were listening to that yesterday, and as the song ended, I said to my wife, that is the most spectacularly stupid song ever recorded. And she said, yeah, but it's catchy. It probably has some meaning to Falco, but not to me. And the same is true of Karma Chameleon. I mean, people have listened to that song and danced that song for 40 years and only to discover that it's about fear. It's about fear of alienation, about not being part of the in crowd, about not being willing to stand up for one thing. It's you're trying to suck up to everybody and be a part of everything and everyone. And I just, you know, I grew up in the 60s. I grew up in the 60s and 70s when the whole thing was, how many of you remember this? Do your own thing. Do your own thing. And even as a young lad, I remember having this conversation with my dad because I was realizing something that was bizarre about that. This whole do your own thing movement was great. I mean, everybody loves unique individuals, but everybody that kept saying do your own thing were all doing the same thing. They were all saying do your own thing and doing exactly the same thing. And this is what's become of culture. And this is true of culture throughout our history is we say we crave individualism. We say we praise individualism. We say that we praise differences, and we like things that are, you know, different, but we really don't. We really don't like that. And nowhere is this more clear than in this idea of tolerance, this idea that we're all going to, there's room for everybody. There's room for every position, I went to a tolerance website getting ready for this show. And this is what the tolerance does not. And this is the kind of thing that drives me nuts. This is right out of the 60s where we write things in different fonts and different directions. And it takes you 10 freaking minutes to figure out what the hell it's at. Tolerance does not mean that we agree, comma, or ignore each other. It means we make space for other people's different, interesting, odd, wrong opinions. This is what I'm told that in the world today, tolerance means. I feel like I'm accepting this ridiculous font thing. And I see, this is the kind of thing that I would never, it drives me nuts when people use more than one font in a quote or statement, something like that. It just drives me over the edge. I mean, you have no idea the things that just, if I were to list the things that annoy me, biting silverware is at the top of that list. And the worst person in the world for that is my wife. And I put up with it. I don't say anything. I turn up the music louder. I look at something. I do something because I know it's not tolerance. It's not something where I'm going, yeah, I'm going to be okay with that, because I'm not. But I love my wife enough that I know that that's not a battle worth fighting. It's not worth getting upset about. Now, if you were to do it, that's a different story. I would say something to you. I would say, stop biting your goddamn fork. Ugh. It's like fingers on a chalkboard. I mean, it really is. Anyway, that bothers me. And the other thing that bothers me is people that use multiple fonts in stuff. And I'll tell you who embedded that in me, really drove that home to me, was John Considine. He's the one that really... John, little side story here, John... If you need to know anything about John Considine, it's this. Arial, bold, 14-point, period. Anything else, you're going to annoy the hell out of him. So I can imagine something like this. While he probably would agree with it. Like it's kind of going to drive him nuts. This was all driven home to me over the weekend because, again, I don't know about where you live, but where I live, Pride Week, Pride Month, whatever the hell this is a big deal. Of course, Seattle has its Pride Fest. They even have a little bit over it here. It's Pride Week at my son's school, although they're handling it differently than they are in Seattle, which is good. The idea here is that we celebrate tolerance. We celebrate inclusion and all of this stuff together. Unless, and this is what caught my eye, unless you're Jewish. Now, apparently, and I don't really, I mean, I guess it's a human thing. I mean, we all have different flags for different things, and we all have representation in our colors and the likes of that, whether you're a gangbanger and you got to wear your 13 San Francisco jersey or a Raider jersey, or whether you're a Mets fan and you got to wear your Mets, Mr. Met hat or whatever. We all have these things that represented us. And somewhere along the line, flags became an issue. Flags became a thing back, God only knows when, in the Middle Ages, and have subsequently moved on from there. But now we've gotten to the point where we're beyond the national flag. It's not just the American flag. It's not just the Canadian flag. It's not just the Russian flag. It's everybody's got to have a flag to represent themselves, or somehow or another, they don't feel included. I don't know. And so the Pride flag came about back in the late 60s, early 70s, and it has an interesting history in the sense that it's not as it's intentionally not as inclusive as it should have been originally. It's been modified since then. I don't know if you knew that or not, but subsequent to that, it's been modified in various different ways, including placing upon it national symbols or religious symbols that, you know, represent whatever. And indeed, as it turns out, there is, in fact, a Jewish pride flag. I did not know this. The Jewish pride flag is the pride flag with a Star of David planted firmly in the middle of it to represent Jewish folks who are LGBTQT. I always hate to say it because I never get all the letters in there, but you get the idea. And then somebody will get mad because you didn't include my letter. LGBT A to Z. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So here is this Jewish LGBT flag, which I was informed over the weekend, and I did not know this, but this is referred to as a Jewish dyke flag. Again, not my words, somebody else's words that was informing me about all of this, and they would have reason to know. And again, as a Jewish man myself, I don't like seeing national flags modified in any way, shape, or form. It's something that bothers me. I don't like seeing the American flag changed, and that includes your blue line flag. I don't like that. I don't like the peace flag. I don't like the Hillary Clinton, the Barack Obama. I don't like flags that are modified. I really don't. I get that people do it. I generally keep it to myself, but I don't like it. Okay, you know, go back to tolerance there. I make space for other people's different, interesting, odd, and wrong opinions. Okay, your opinion is you want to have a Jewish pride flag. You go right ahead and have a Jewish pride flag and you know, good on you. I'm not going to like it, but neither am I going to act like a neo-Nazi and rip it out of your hands and throw it on the ground and piss on it. I'm not going to do that, which is what happened. At any rate, the whole upshot of all this is it was explained to me over the weekend and it was made national news and I'm not sure why. But the pride festivals, the pride parades around the country have banned the Jewish pride flag. The Jewish pride flag has been banned. Just let it go around in your head for a second. Think about what I'm told tolerance means. Means we make space for other people's different, interesting, odd, and wrong opinions. And the Jewish pride flag has been banned from the pride festivals. Why, you might be saying? What could possibly be a problem there? Well, the problem is that it, quote, looks too much like the Israeli flag. And, well, apparently we do not make space for different, interesting, odd, wrong Jewish opinions. We don't make space for Jewish flags. We don't make space for people who might be, you know, pro-Israel. And so this flag, quote unquote, resembles the Jewish flag, the Israeli flag, too closely. And so it has literally been banned from pride festivals, which, again, I'm not gay. I don't know that I would be. It's hard to quantify what I am. I mean, I'm heterosexual. I'm married, obviously, to my wife, and she's the only one I'm remotely interested in. But the I have this very libertarian philosophy when it comes to sexual behavior. As long as you keep it in your, as long as you're not hurting somebody else and you keep it to yourself, I don't care. I really don't. I've said I don't care if gay people get married. I don't care if gay people are doing gay things. It doesn't bother me at all. It never has, and it never will, until I'm told that, well, unless you're Jewish, then you can't have a gay pride flag like the rest of us can, because we can't tolerate that. We can't make room for that different, interesting, odd, wrong, or Jewish opinion. We can't have that. Which tells me right there that this whole thing about tolerance is bullshit anyway. It really is. It's not about tolerance. It's not about making room for other people's opinions. It's about everybody doing the same thing. It's about everybody being exactly the same, in lockstep, goose step with each other, until the Nazis come along and rip stuff down and piss all over it. Then we got a problem with it. But until then, as long as your different, interesting, odd, wrong opinion agrees with ours, we're fine. As soon as you put a Jewish Star of David on it, we're not going to have that, are we? Are we? Can't allow that. In 1790, then President George Washington went to Newport, Rhode Island. He was visiting around the country because he was the president. He wanted to go out and see what was going on. And he was greeted there by numerous congregations. One of the things that Washington did during his time on earth and in leadership as both part of the Continental Congress, as part of the Continental Army, the Constitutional Convention, and later as president, is he made a point of being very open to the idea of religion that he didn't necessarily subscribe to. He was the first president to go to a Catholic church. And remember that in the 1780s and 90s, Catholicism was not exactly a promotional bell ringer, as it were, in the United States of America. He took the entire staff, cabinet, the whole people, and they went to a Catholic church to make the point that we don't worry about that here. And when he was met by the Jewish congregation there in Newport, Rhode Island, they expressed to him their thanksgiving and their pleasure with the fact that he was there. And Moses Sexius greeted him with a letter extending very warm greetings to him and thanking the deity, thanking God, for a man like Washington to become president of the United States. Because it was the way of things in those days, President Washington immediately responded via correspondence. You see the actual letter there. There's a picture of it. But included in that letter is this famous little passage. It is now no more that toleration is spoken of as if it were the indulgence of one class of people that enjoyed the exercise of their inherent national rights. For happily, the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no factions, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens in giving it on all occasions their effectual support. The idea here is that Washington is reminding us that tolerance is not, it's not necessarily a positive thing. Tolerance implies that one class of people is allowing another class of people to have their different, interesting, odd, and or wrong, and or Jewish opinions. You're allowing me to have that. No. This is the United States of America, dude. I get to have that opinion whether you allow me to have it or not. Unless, of course, it's a Jewish pride flag, then we're not going to allow that. So, I mean, my reaction to that is I just take it anyway and say, fuck all. But, you know, who knows? He continued that letter. May the children of the stock of Abraham, that would be Jews, for those of you not keeping up, who dwell in this land, continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of the other inhabitants. The goodwill, not your tolerance. We don't need your freaking tolerance. We need your goodwill. your willingness to accept that we're here and we're Jewish and we're just like you the rest of the way. While everyone shall sit safely under his own vine and fig tree, there shall be none to make him afraid. President George Washington, Newport, Rhode Island, 1790. It amazes me that we've actually gotten to the point in this country where people think that tolerance is the allowing of somebody else's different, odd, wrong Jewish opinions. It's not. And this is the problem with this whole pride movement. It's the whole problem with those things. It's not about tolerance. It's about everybody behaving the same. As long as that same is approved by the group that's there. If it isn't, then, geez, you might as well hand that flag to a neo-Nazi who's breaking up your march so he can throw it on the ground and piss all over, because that's what they did. Sorry in case you missed that news. But for all practical purposes, the people who have banned that flag in the first place have done exactly the same thing. All while telling me they're the tolerant ones. I don't need your tolerance. I'm not even gay, and I still don't need your tolerance. President Washington told me, all we need is your goodwill. And if you don't want to give me your goodwill, why in the world would we want to be part of that anyway? Where this whole thing is headed, now this is the Babylon Bee, of course, so it's sarcasm, but House Democrats draft legislation that would make it a hate crime to eat at Chick-fil-A. Is that tolerant? Is that the definition of tolerance? And yet, you've got cities in this country that have actually banned Chick-fil-A from airports and likes that. Sarcasm and cultural satire. The truth is in the fact that the humor is in the fact that some of it's true. We don't need your tolerance, pride people. Speaking for Jewish gay folks, I guess. We don't need your tolerance. Our opinions are not wrong. You're supposed to be making space for them. They're different. I'll give you that. We see things a little bit differently than you do. Tough bananas. Doesn't make them any less gay than you are, or lesbian, or gay, or transsexual, or whatever than you are. And they're still Jewish. But you want to take that away from them, don't you? Because you don't like that. It's not what George Washington said, is it? I got to get going. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there, so don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I'm the very busy Dave Bowman, and we'll see you soon for a new episode of the Dave Bowman Show right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
The Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.